No pressure. He's just putting all the trust in me, right? Good morning. Good morning. As you heard, my name is James. I am the youth and young adult pastor here at Grace Community Fellowship. A little bit about me. I come from California. That was where I was born and raised. I was in a lovely church out there for 18 years of my life. I served and loved on that church, and then a time came when I was going to leave, when I had to leave my church and come out here to a new place, and really challenged my faith coming out here, having to choose a church, having to pick something and make my faith my own, right? At that time, when you have to search for a church, I don't know if you've had the privilege of doing it, but you have to look kind of at everything with a magnifying glass, really, to find what you're looking for. Then you start to think, you know, okay, so maybe I don't agree with this, but this is really good, and maybe, you know, over here I can major on the majors and minor on the minors, right? Well, where does the fellowship come in, and so on and so forth? Well, out here I was blessed to have my brother going to a pretty solid church already, so I went with him and became a part of this fellowship, and like I said, it challenged my faith. I started to have to look at what I had been taught my entire life and make it my own. What do I really believe that was taught to me all these years? What do I believe? One of the biggest things that came up was continuationalism versus sensationalism. Wow, those are big words. Basically, a idea of on the Spirit. Is it working and active, or was it just for the disciples to share in masses, right? I was challenged with that. What does the Bible say? I spent hours trying to figure out what the Bible really said about that. What was the teaching, and so on and so forth. At that time in my life, I really had to make my faith my own, right? So continuing on, for years, I served at that church for about 4 or 5 years, and then I got this great opportunity to come here and be a part of this body, this great church. This church, which I feel is living out a very important thing, living out love. When I first walked into those doors, I got a sense of something that doesn't happen very often in this world, which is, man, this is a group of sinners, right? But in a great way, you could feel the love radiating. I am no better than you. You are no better than I. Let's love one another together. So today I'm here to talk about some of what Dennis has been teaching us in John and how we can apply it as a church together if you join me. All right. I love that. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm a big Star Wars nerd. So every time I hear, join me, I think of Darth Vader, you know, intimidating guy. But another side note about me, I was never big into football. Now, football is a bigger thing than it was in California. At the time growing up, we didn't have any teams. We lost a lot of teams. We were going to purchase some teams back and forth. I never really got into it. However, when I and started dating this girl, she was nuts about football. You know, she was a Baltimore Ravens fan. I ended up marrying her. So football became a little more important. Now, for those of you who don't know what football is, if there's any, football is two teams, right? They're constantly in opposition. They never get along, right? It's not like they work together to get a field goal or anything like that. They're in constant opposition. Now, there is a third team there, right? A third team, a team of officials. Their job is to, you know, oversee and make sure that things are followed correctly, right? Well, they get their rules, right, on the field from way up top. Does anybody know who the commissioner is for the NFL? Yep, that's right, that's right. So he makes sure that all the rules are held up to. They speak with his authority, right? The officials speak with his authority, right? On this field, which is in chaos, right? The football, when you see it, as soon as that guy says hike, those guys take off, right? They're going at each other's throats. It's chaotic. But the officials are there to make sure that the rules are followed. Each one of them is given a rule book. They obviously know it fairly well. I mean, you don't see many, many officials out there like, there was a play on the basketball court, and it's a foul. You know, they know with confidence, with authority, what the rules are. Much like us, we are given that authority. We have a commissioner, right? We are like the officials on the field now. So, we as a church have been learning about Jesus Christ, our commissioner, right? He commissions us to go and do these things. We know his story fairly well. Dennis has been hitting over it. And we're looking at the last days of Jesus Christ, right? We know his life story. He came down from heaven, right? 100% God, 100% man. He comes down, born to Mary and Joseph. Everybody knows the story. It's not Christmas. Why are we talking about this? Because I think it's important to constantly remember who our commissioner is. And one of the most important things to remember, and one thing that Dennis has been repeatedly hitting on, is the human side of Jesus Christ. So he comes down here, he gets a group of followers. He is politically strong. He is politically intimidating those who are currently ruling at the time that we're looking at, right? So much so that the Pharisees are like, our power is slipping, guys. What are we going to do about this? Right? And they decide to kill him. What's funny is they decide to kill him as long as it's not on the Passover, right? And we all know how that worked out. God was in control even in their decision to kill the man. So one of the things that we've been looking at is Jesus saying, I'm going to build my church, right? Dennis has been teaching on that. He's going to start a new thing. Jesus didn't come to breathe new life into Judaism. He didn't come to, live the Old Testament, but rather fulfill it. Fulfill it. And one of the specific examples that we've been looking at is Peter, one of these disciples, right? Once again, going back to humans. Peter is just a man like you and me. You know, we talk about Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. Peter is just a man, just like you, just like me. And we see here that he is on fire for this dude, right? He loves him. This is his friend. Jesus is his friend. He's eaten with him, hung out with him. He sees him on a daily basis. These it's a family, right? He's following this man. And as we learned just last week, Jesus has a bit to tell him. He says, "You will deny me." What? No, not a chance. I will not deny you. I will go to the ends of the earth with you. I will die for you. You surely will, Peter, but you will deny me, right? And we see it. He goes on and he does. He denies him three times. He denies this guy that he knows to be the Savior. He knows it in his heart. He already believes it. He already believes this man. He's been following him for months. And he still finds it in his heart to deny him. So we can see the story continue. He denies Christ, and he's like, I'm done with this Christianity thing. I'm going back to fishing. That's where I'll be if you guys need me. Because that's where I was comfortable. This whole thing was uncomfortable. Now I've failed. And so later on, the story continues. Jesus Christ, this man that he followed, this man that he loved on, that he built a relationship with, is murdered on a cross. I'm going fishing. Going back to what I know. Because it's comfortable. 3 days later, Jesus Christ raises from the dead, right? Conquering sin, conquering death, saving us from our own humanity. And I love that Dennis brought this up. He's spoken by name, you know. Go get this man. Later on, we see that, where is Peter? He's fishing, right? Jesus appears on the shoreline. And Jesus is just standing there. He's got, what, a fire pit of coal and some fish cooking. And he's like, guys, have you caught anything? They're like, no, no. Soon they find out that that's Jesus. And what does Peter do? He puts on his clothes and he jumps in the water and he books it as fast as he can. He runs to that man, looks at him, and there they are standing in front of this fire. What's interesting about the fire is the coals, which is only mentioned two times in the Bible, coals, one for this flame that's next to him and once for where Peter was, in fact, warming his hands. Two times. Why bring this up? Because it's uncomfortable. He's sitting there with a constant reminder of what he had just done. What he had just done. He denied Jesus Christ. If you remember, the Bible says, you know, if you deny me, I will deny you. That's no small thing. Peter is probably scared, uncomfortable, now faced with the man he denied. And Jesus says, do you love me? And he doesn't just say it once, he doesn't say it twice, he says it three times, which is uncomfortable again because Peter had just denied him three times, right? No, I don't know that man. No, I don't know that man. No, I don't know that man. So much so as to curse. I'm sure, you know, if you were to talk to Peter, he probably wouldn't be the guy that, you know, oh yeah, I curse all the time. I'm like a, you know, sailor, right? No, but he goes that far. He distanced himself. And here's Jesus. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend to my flock. Do you love me? Church, do you love me? Tend to my sheep. One of the things that Dennis has been talking about a little bit is it's time to fish or cut bait, right? It's time to do something. It's time to act. I think that seeing Peter's example, right? We see Peter has failed, right? Would you agree that denying Christ, that was a failure, right? That was a failure. And then we see forgiveness, right? He has a realization in his heart. He decides, no, this man is better than anything. I said I would die for him. I mean it now. I had a realization. This is Jesus Christ, not just the man, but the Savior. 100% God, 100% man, died for my sins, now back from the dead. How can I serve you? Tend to my flock. Tend to my sheep. That is the call given to Peter, right? We see him deny Christ. We see him have that realization. And ultimately, we see him receive forgiveness. Right? We see not only does he receive forgiveness, but Christ looks at him and says, I love you too. Now do my work. I'm so glad you're on the same page. I'm so glad you're ready. I'm so glad you have this forgiveness. You understand your faith. Tend to my flock. Do the work. That's what he's called to. Later on, we see an even greater commission, right? Jesus gives it to all the disciples. Dear brother, dear sister, What are you doing right now to feed the sheep? What are you doing now that tells this story? Because if you believe in your heart that this man died on a cross for your sins, that led to your ultimate salvation, why are you not talking about it? What are you doing? There's many ways we see in church. There's a lot of ways to serve. I love that. Get active, get serving, bring up the next generation of disciples, work with people, love on your fellow brothers and sisters. I think Grace Community Fellowship, that's great. That should be a list for us. We should know grace, give it out, right? We should strive for a community, and we should long for fellowship between all of us, believers, inside out, new people, everything. Bring them in. That's what our heart should be. When is the last time you put aside yourself for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? In this time, I'd like to offer an opportunity to serve, to help, to come alongside me as we take big steps into reaching the community. And the way that we're going to do that, the way that I believe the Lord is working through our church, and trust me, He is working through this church. I know it. I've seen it. I'm so glad to be a part of it. But the big way that we're going to be doing this is we're trying to change the youth room, the mobile classroom over there, into something really unique, really special, something that is full of grace, full of community, and, you know, inspires that fellowship. We want to take it, we want to transform it into a space, a coffee space specifically, themed after coffee shops and so on and so forth. In this day and age, it seems like that's a very popular thing, to go into coffee shops with your friends, especially for the young adults. It's a comfortable space. For Dennis and I, it is important to create a safe space. That's what we want above everything else, a safe space where you, the believer, or you, the unbeliever, or you, the squirrel, can come in and feel welcomed. Feel welcomed, loved on. One of the greatest things is love, right? We're taught that throughout the Bible. A new commandment I give to you, love on one another, right? So what? So what? In this time of refurbishing across the street, there is going to be many things needed. I'm tearing up the floors. I'm putting new in new walls. I invite you guys to come alongside of me to help me out, to feed the sheep in this way. We have need of it. We want to make something special. We want to make something unique. And we want to make something that will further the kingdom of God, that will allow these opportunities for us to share our faith in an organic and prosperous way. So I ask you guys to come alongside, to invest with me. Be a part of it. This is going to benefit young adults. It's going to benefit the youth. We had been talking about it for a while, Dennis and I. What are we going to do? Are we going to, you know, just refurbish it to be a youth building? Why not use it for so much more? Mm-hmm. I want something special. Live music, beautiful place, people coming in from all over the place. A welcoming space that we can talk about what we believe to be true. So in closing, there are no hidden secrets, no gimmicks, no magic sauce, right, that makes an impact on the world.
No.
especially for the truth of Jesus Christ. Many, like Peter, that example, many believers have a similar story of denial, denying Christ, living in their sin, finally having a realization, right? Realizing who he is, realizing what he's done for you, receiving that forgiveness. I pray that that is your life story right there, summed up. Denial, realization, forgiveness, and now let's do this together, church. Let's do this together. There is no magic sauce, right? Many, like Peter, in the past, in the present, even now, overseas, give their lives. All had one thing in common. Their own comfort was less important than being like Christ. Loving like the Lord. And being an example. Peter left his mark on this world through his undying devotion to Jesus Christ. The man who lived a perfect life, sinless, spotless, for us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that's what he did?
Yep.
Do you believe, like Dennis said, the facts? You can see he left his thumbprint. Like I said, he was politically powerful. You cannot deny that he was here. But what do you, dear church, dear brother, dear sister, what do you believe about him to be true? What do you believe to be true? Because if you believe him to be the Savior, to be God's only son, then what are you doing about it? Who are you talking to? Serve in the body of Christ. There is no greater work. Join us as we take these next steps into fulfilling our name and becoming an even larger community. Lord, may that be true of my life, that I may be living this out.
Yes.
Lord, you are working in this church.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have molded this church for centuries. Lord, work in us. We pray that this building would be a tool. Let us be tools in your hands. We thank you for this example of human interaction, Lord, you and Peter together. We pray and thank you for the fact that even when he failed, you forgived him and didn't just forgive him, but gave him responsibility. Lord, you are so good. You are so kind to us. Let us use this gift and push it into the future.
That's right.
That it will not just end with ours, but the next. Amen. And the next until your glorious return.
That's right.
Lord, you are good. You came to die for us. Let us do the work now, Lord. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Great question. I was actually going to open it up for questions, so I'm glad you asked. Well, the plan...